This is a long poem, but it's one sentence, so it'll go by quickly. This was written after visiting the gay parade in San Francisco this July, or was it June? Actually, I think it was June. I was just absolutely astonished by the presence and the power of the people marching in the parade, given that the devastation of AIDS that has seared through the community there, and I was just blown away, and I hope that you'll hear the parade when it comes in about three quarters of the way through the poem. It's in here. The setting for this, this is one of these poems that starts and ends in the same place, like bookends. So, and the setting for it is actually a room much like this. The impossible. I had to give a great speech to a filled hall, beginning with a flute sonata, and to recite from several books, only two of which I recognized, which I accomplished, though it took everything out of me as I tried to hold my posture erect and, failing that, at least look good on the balls of my feet. This being nearly impossible, I tried to give the illusion of weightlessness, or at the very least a sense of rapprochement with gravity, whereby my head remained light while my heart suffered and my soul burned, so that when asked to run for all I was worth, which I tell you was not much by then, because of the pressure to demur to those around me, cajoling and demanding, I fled with a kind of verve even I did not foresee, since I was preoccupied with having abandoned a project, it's true, only a genius or a madman might have finished, and which I had, frankly, more or less accomplished by accident, intuition, and a sudden burst of confidence which shocked even my dearest, and succeeded in reaching the famous Crystal Springs, heretofore thought to be imaginary. A thing of wonder, but without substance, without substantiation, such blueness and liquidity, it was unbelievable, but true, that I stopped on a dime, resisting a personal moment that surely would have overwhelmed anyone so haunted and so driven by so many, and experienced what can only be described as a disappointment, plain and simple. Not because the waters were any less majestic, any less transparent than rumored. In fact, they were blue beyond the cerulean of sky over a south high in the mountains of deepest earth. Purpled, nearly black, that is, if one thought of the sun ever going down into such waters. Sad, because I had never been more in love, more given over to any one person, place, or thing, and all of existence seemed paltry next to such feeling, if one did not count the few stones that uncannily caught my eye, pebbles I almost smashed out of a euphoria that overcame and nearly destroyed me. A taste of heavenly wind swept my body, tickling my ribs with a fancy singing of spirit, tempting, perfumed. But for the goddamn six or seven loosely strewn aforementioned ugly little rocks that buckled my knees with their gray, snaky surface, pimpled, rough, impossibly connotative. That is, I saw a thousand lakes in the landscape of a bird-shat mossy clump glom to a crag, and bat faces and bear paws and exoskeletal histories from beyond time, and so on, which held me face down, less recalcitrant than I had ever been, trust me on that, and ever more eager to obey the longer I picked out lunar hills and valleys and the more hushed I got between one ancient, practically moribund megalith and another, beamed, so to speak, from oblivion, the body of universe opened into a gaping mouth whose lips mercifully shined with the handiwork of creation. Or at least it seemed that way to me, by now flattened to the cold, damp floor, reddened with the liveliness of movement and of sweat, crimson then and moving, mouthing something, speaking in tongues, but almost immediately my language, words I once dared to call, I grant you in a dream, the language of love, which in this case hastened to particularize itself in the being of a face. And then the hair and eyes and costume of beatific figures transsexualized by ritual and political charioteering, such that I no longer knew myself, but rather a consortium of likenesses whose cocksureness is colloquialized as immediately as the words for it are spoken. A roaring of motorcycles and then hundreds of faceless, because one face, hermaphroditic moderns blazed by, upstaging the monochromatic past with theatric mauves and chartreuses, white-faced and mascaraed images, eyebrowless, and I found myself in full color, reproduced electronically, as it were, so eroticized as to be unreal, a diorama overpowering everything else in common limelight. Dykes on bikes, fag hags, drag queens, steroidal buffs, midnight blue, black semi-nudes, boy toys, unzipped sadomasochistic six-foot tricks, the semi-erect, the innocent in gym shorts and in slips, tuxedos, t-shirts, cutoffs, jeans impaled at the crotch, godly, larger than life meaning assigned to them by messages spelled out on their chests, silence equals death, etc., until so engorged, their numbers blur into a mass of energy that finally disperses into the missions and the tenderloins from whence they came, into the planetary city named irreverently and made familiar by necessity, sex. And I passed out onto those innocuous stones, trifles I might have missed another day, waking to stumble between two destinations, home or on, knowing I'd forgotten, oh, Alcatrazed, face betrayed, abandoned, forgotten more than any metaphor provided, because it too is ultimately betrayed and abandoned, forgotten life, because of this paper face, this alphabet and these blanks I trusted naturally like a form of breathing. Life I have to return to, which I made more difficult than walking off the globe by imagining I had to say a few tired words into an ear near empty auditorium, beginning with a couple of shot notes, only some of which I'd actually written. Did you get the parade? You got the parade. Okay, you got the parade.